I want to speak to you tonight very simply on the salvation of Samuel the prophet. He was a young man, just a child, who surrendered his heart and his life unto the Lord. And we have read of that time and that occasion in the chapter that was read publicly to us a little earlier in the service. Now Samuel, the name Samuel, means asked of God. And Samuel was born because his mother asked God to give her a son. You will read the story in the first chapter of this book. Hannah was a woman who was married to Elkanah. She was a godly woman, and yet she was without child. Elkanah took another wife. Her name was Peninnah. Some commentators believe that the reason why Elkanah took another wife was because Hannah at that point was unable to bear children. But the Bible tells us that Elkanah's heart was toward Hannah. He loved Hannah. And Peninnah was filled with jealousy, and so she mocked Hannah. She spoke down to Hannah, and she belittled Hannah in her condition. Things came to a head one year when Elkanah with his family attended the house of God at Shiloh. And Hannah wept, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah brought her burden and her difficulty to the Lord in prayer. And you'll remember that Eli the priest found her, and he thought she was drunk with wine, and yet she was full of the Spirit, and she was praying in the Spirit. And whenever she corrected the priest, he blessed her and he said, "The Lord give thee the petition of thine heart." And she went away from God's house. The Bible tells us that God answered her prayers. Oh, the lesson even in Samuel's birth is that God answers prayer. And there's a wonderful verse, and maybe we'll preach on it sometime in the morning meeting or the prayer meeting. But in chapter 1 and verse 27, Hannah returned to Eli. And she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition which I asked of him." She said, "Look, Eli, I prayed for a child, and see this boy, here he is, flesh and blood. Here is evidence that God answers prayer. Look at him." Because he was asked of God and God answered her prayers, she called him Samuel, asked of God, "Oh, that God would give us physical, first-hand evidence that God answers prayer. Oh, that he'd give us new births. The births of souls that we can say, 'For this man I prayed that God would save him, and here he is, he's saved, he's been born of the Spirit.'" Oh, that God would give us answers to prayer like Hannah received. Then Hannah brought her little child up to the temple. And she dedicated him unto the Lord, and there he would serve the Lord in the temple through his childhood years. Men and women, it was when little Samuel was at the tabernacle, was there at the house of God in Shiloh, and he was helping Eli with his duties and his responsibilities, that the Lord came down and the Lord spoke to him and the Lord saved him. And there's a wee lesson there for the parents and the grandparents. You keep endeavoring to get your children and your grandchildren to the house of God. For it was when Samuel was at the house of God that God dealt with him and God spoke to him and God saved him. And I believe with all my heart that in answer to prayer, when the word of God is preached, God takes it dealing with men and with young people and with children, seek to get your loved ones to the house of God to hear the word of God. For it was there that Samuel was saved. And tonight, I believe in this portion of Scripture, we can see very clearly how the Lord dealt with Samuel. Brought him to himself as a little child. I believe saved his soul. And there are a number of things from this passage in relation to Samuel's conversion I want to emphasize to your heart tonight. I want you to see, firstly, his condition. Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. This is the time that God spoke to him. This is the time that God brought him to himself. And the Bible is very clear. At this point in Samuel's life, he didn't know the Lord. He wasn't saved at this particular point. And I can turn you back. Just look at chapter 2 and look at the verse 12. These verses refer to the sons of Eli, a man of God. And yet his sons went astray. Christian parent, if your children have gone astray, you keep praying for them. There were men of God in the Scriptures, and their children didn't follow in their footsteps. But I have no doubt that they prayed for them. And in time, some of those children of the men of God, I have no doubt, got right with God. Unfortunately, these two sons of Eli were not two of those individuals who ever got right with God. But look at what it says about them. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Do you see that little phrase is used to describe one who is not right with God, doesn't know the Lord, and has never experienced God's salvation. And when it is spoken of in connection with Samuel, and he's just a little child, he didn't know the Lord. He wasn't right with God. In New Testament language, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know the Lord, in spite of his upbringing. Here was a young boy, and he had a godly mother. He had a mother who could pray. He had a mother who was attentive to the house of God and to the services of the house of God. And yet her son did not know the Lord as a child. Samuel had a mother, and I have no doubt she instructed him in the ways of the Lord. Just look at chapter 1 and the verse 24. And when she had weaned him, that is Samuel, she took him up with her with three bullocks. She's taking little Samuel to the tabernacle. She's taking three bullocks as well. What were the three bullocks for? They were to sacrifice. And I have no doubt that Hannah would have taught Samuel even from his childhood. Maybe he was inquisitive. I have three children, and I can think of one's very quiet, doesn't ask a lot of questions, and there's another one, and the questions flow. It's who, why, what, where, and when. And if Samuel was an inquisitive child, he maybe asked, well, why are we taking the three bullocks up with us to the tabernacle? And I've no doubt Hannah would have told him. Those bullocks, son, are going to be offered on the altar. Their blood is going to be shed. They're going to be sacrificed at the tabernacle. And Samuel, it's a picture. It's a foreshadowing of the work that the Lord Jesus will do, that the Messiah will do when he comes into this world. He'll shed his blood. He'll die as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And I have no doubt that Hannah would have instructed him in those things as she took him up to the tabernacle. He'd a mother that prayed for him. He'd a mother that taught him, I have no doubt, in the gospel and the things concerning the Lord. He was instructed by Eli. Here was a young boy and he didn't know the Lord. In spite of his upbringing, in spite of his instruction, isn't that what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that Eli perceived it was the Lord that was calling Samuel, and he told Eli, go away and say, speak, Lord. He was instructed by the priest. Yet he didn't know the Lord. Can I add one other thing to that? Can I say that he didn't know the Lord in spite of his upbringing, in spite of his instruction? He didn't know the Lord despite his devotion. Look at chapter 2 and verse 18. And what a solemn lesson there is here. But Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child. He had his duties that he performed for Eli around the tabernacle. He was busy in the service of the sanctuary of the Lord's house, but he didn't know the Lord. And I put it to you tonight, there could be those in the visible church of Jesus Christ, and they could be willing to help out in the manual labor that is needed. They could be willing to help out in various activities, perhaps in the church. And yet just because there are those, and maybe they want to sing in the choir, maybe they want to help with the cleaning of the church or other aspects to do with the decoration of the church or whatever, but they're not saved. These things, my friend, do not make you right with God. You could have a godly upbringing. You could be instructed in the gospel. You could be taught about the blood sacrifice of Christ. Maybe there are young people in the meeting tonight and they come to the services. Maybe they partake in the youth meetings and whatever. That doesn't make you right with God. There's a verse of scripture in Matthew chapter 8. I want you to turn to it. It often makes me tremble. And maybe sometime we'll look at this verse. What a solemn verse it is. Matthew 8 verse 12. Jesus was teaching that many would come from the east and west. Many Gentiles would be saved and sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But look at what he says in verse 12. But the children, he doesn't say the children of the wicked one. He doesn't say the children of the world. He says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we have to ask ourselves a question, what does it mean when Jesus spoke about the children of the kingdom being cast out into outer darkness? I believe he was speaking about those who had an outward association with the visible kingdom of God on earth, but they weren't saved. They were perhaps children who had godly parents, but they didn't know God's salvation themselves. They were children who attended the house of God there in Jerusalem in the days of Christ. They went through all the outward services and sacrifices of Old Testament religion, but they weren't saved. They were those who perhaps were busy about the service of the tabernacle or the temple, but they hadn't been born again. And I am showing to you tonight from the life of Samuel, that you can have all of those outward associations and privileges of an upbringing in a Christian environment and in the visible church. It doesn't make you right with God. It doesn't save your soul. Samuel's condition, He did not know the Lord. And I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone in this service? And that just describes you. You're at many of the gospel meetings. You would do whatever you could to help out as far as the church is concerned. You maybe even had a godly parent who faithfully or does faithfully pray for you. But tonight, you don't know the Lord. You've never experienced God's salvation. Well, then tonight, notice what happened to Samuel in the second instance. I want you to notice his call. Look at verse 4. You see, salvation is of the Lord. And salvation commences in the sense that it is birthed in the soul. It commences with God calling you to Himself. Look at verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. You notice that it's a personal call. For further down the chapter there in verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord still calls men and women unto Himself. You will not hear an audible voice from heaven. But the Lord calls men and women through the preaching of His Word. And when His Word is proclaimed and the Holy Ghost takes it and applies it to hearts, the Lord calls sinners to Himself, and He does it personally. We can give illustration after illustration. Do you remember when Zacchaeus was up the tree? He climbed up that sycamore tree for he wanted to get a view of Christ. And the Lord passed by that way and he stopped and he looked up and what did he say? Zacchaeus, come down. And he called Zacchaeus by his name. He knew all about him. Zacchaeus was simply trying to get a glimpse of the Lord. Yet the Lord knew who he was and he knew all about him. Called him by his name. Do you remember Moses at the burning bush? The Lord was in the bush and he called unto him, Moses, Moses. Do you remember Abraham? The Lord called unto Abraham and he called him by his name. You know what that tells me? It tells me the Lord knows all about you. You can say like Hagar, thy God seest me. The Lord told Nathanael, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And it was that very thought that saved Nathanael in John chapter 1, that the Lord saw him and the Lord knew all about him and he gave his heart to the Messiah. Men and women, the Lord knows who you are and he knows where you are and he knows what you are and he knows all about you. He knows your sins. He knows your feelings. Yet still he calls you by your name. Come unto me. Wonder is the Lord calling someone tonight. Above and beyond the voice of the preacher. You can testify the Lord has been speaking to your soul. Let me point out something else from the call of the Lord to Samuel. It wasn't only a personal call, but a persistent call. Look at verse 6. And the Lord called yet again. You see, the first time the Lord called Samuel, Samuel thought it was Eli. And he went and he spoke to Eli and he said, Eli, you called me and here I am. He didn't recognize that it was the Lord that was calling him. And how often has that been the experience of the unconverted? The Lord speaks to their soul and they feel the strivings of the Holy Ghost calling and compelling them to get right with God. And yet they put it down to the preachers playing tricks with their mind. Or they put it down to the fact they're in a difficult situation in life. And They simply feel or have felt an emotional pull towards the Lord. That if the Lord got them out of a certain fix, they'd give their heart to Him. And when the Lord called the first time, Samuel didn't recognize it was from the Lord. Maybe that's been you in times gone by. The Spirit has strove with you before. Yet you've put it down to simply your mind or the preacher getting under your skin. But see the grace of God. The Lord didn't give up when Samuel at first did not respond or recognize his voice. What does verse 6 say? The Lord called yet again. Doesn't that remind us of the patience and the perseverance of the Lord in calling you to Himself? In Revelation chapter 3, I know it was spoken of in relation to a church. But how applicable it is to the hearts and lives of individuals. In Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the emphasis and the inference there of those words are that the Lord remains standing and He remains knocking. He continues to knock. He continues to trouble you about your sin and about your soul and where you'll spend eternity. He continues to say, come unto me. He's persistent. And oh, tonight, if the Lord is knocking at your heart's door tonight afresh, then we say, like the hymn writer, let Him in. For if any man, any woman hears His voice and opens the door, He'll come in and He'll sup with you and He'll save you and He'll commune with you. I wonder tonight, is He still striving? Look at verse 8 and you'll see that this was a perceived call. The Lord called Samuel again the third time and he arose and went to Eli. Look at verse 9, the end of verse 8, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. It was Eli that perceived it was the Lord, and he advised the child what to do. And that's why the preacher often says, if men and women are troubled about their souls, come and speak to us. See, the preacher's there to help. And Eli, as the priest, was able to say to the child, listen, it's not your mind playing tricks. It's not just a nightly dream. It's none of those things. It's the Lord. And you say, Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. And the Lord will respond and He'll save you. And if you're troubled about your soul, we say, speak to us in Jesus' name. That we can advise you, it's the Lord calling you. Warn you tonight, if the Lord is calling, if the Lord is speaking, then men and women, young people, don't put it off. For the Bible tells us, the Lord declares, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And there may come a day when those knockings cease forever. And if the Lord is calling you tonight, come. Come and receive Him as your Savior and as your Lord. I want us, thirdly tonight, Samuel's conversion. Look at verse 10 of this chapter. The Lord came and stood. Don't miss that little phrase. The Lord came and stood. You read the first 10 verses again, and while you'll discover that the Lord called Samuel, in the previous verses we don't read that the Lord came and stood. He came and stood and called as at other times. But it doesn't tell us that as at the other times that he was there. And I believe because of verse 10. The Lord Jesus came down into the very place where Samuel was. The Lord was there. It was what we call a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down into that very place. And he called Samuel again. When the Lord called the third time, you'll notice that Samuel surrendered under the Word of God. For he called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And in that moment, Samuel surrendered his heart to the Lord. He became submissive to the Word of God. Under the will of God. And if you are going to be saved and a child of the Lord, if you're going to know your sins are forgiven, then men and women, you must bow the knee in submission to the Word of God. Why, the Lord had something to say to Samuel. The Lord has something to say to you. And I tell you where it begins. It begins with those words of Christ in Mark 1 and 15 when he said, repent and believe the gospel. If the Lord is calling you, then he's calling you to repent and believe the gospel. And you will be saved when you submit and you surrender your heart to the Word of God and you turn from your sin and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you shall be saved. When the Apostle Paul was converted, I maybe mentioned this in a previous meeting, when the Apostle Paul was converted to Christ on the Damascus Road, we read those words that after Christ was revealed to him, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He surrendered to the Word and the will of God. Revealed in Jesus Christ. And I am saying to you tonight that if the Lord is calling you to Himself, then the response of your heart must be one of submission to the Word of God. And it commences with repentance and faith. Have you submitted? Have you surrendered to the Lord as Samuel did and as Saul of Tarsus did? You'll notice that when Samuel was converted, he not only submitted to the Word of God, and to the voice of the Savior. You'll notice that he spoke forth. He confessed what the Lord had revealed to him. Look at verse 15 and 18. We didn't read these verses. We'll just close with these verses tonight. Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Isn't that always the way when a man or a woman or a young person gives their heart to the Lord and submits to the Lord? There's a fear, the fear of man. There's a fear to tell others, I've got saved. I can only speak from personal experience. But I know that for a while after I gave my heart to the Lord, I did not want to reveal it to unconverted friends. And yet there came that point where the Lord brought us to, where we had to confess. They saw the difference. They asked what was wrong, and we told them, I've got saved. And yet there was that fear, just as Samuel feared to show Eli what the Lord had showed him. Yet look at verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He that is Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. I believe in these verses we have a picture of the one who, having met with the Lord, submitted and surrendered to Him, comes forth to confess and tell what the Lord has done for them and revealed to them and through them. It teaches us, reminds us of the words of the Apostle Paul, speaking in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're saved, never be afraid or ashamed to tell others. Let them know you've given your heart and life to Christ. Let it be known that you're a child of the King. I had a fourth point tonight. I'm not going to preach upon it. I'm simply going to mention it to you as we close. Samuel's condition was he knew not the Lord. Samuel's call, the Lord called him unto Himself. His conversion, he submitted and surrendered to the Lord and told Eli all about it. Do you know, that was only the beginning of the Christian life. You see, the Christian life doesn't end with salvation. We're saved in an instant and in a moment of time. But then we live our lives for the Lord. And if you read verse 19, you'll discover that Samuel was to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. He was to go on in service for the Lord. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that he was a prophet of the Lord, and to be a prophet of the Lord. It reminds us and instructs us that when we are saved, we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We're to go on and serve Him with all of our hearts until the day that the Lord takes us home to be with Himself. May the Lord do it in our hearts and in our lives. May He bless His word for Jesus' sake.